dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. We're going to talk about a battlefront in that war that is mostly ignored and yet is vitally important. I think of it as nothing less than the battlefront of Christendom, the assaults upon it, who are defending us against those assaults, and who should be but aren't at the moment, and what that means for its fate, and more generally, the fate of Judeo-Christian civilization. I couldn't be more pleased to say we are joined for the purpose of rigorously addressing these questions by a friend and comrade in arms, a freedom fighter, a champion of human rights, children, women, and more, and a very devout Catholic who is going to talk to us specifically about the role being played in all of this by Pope Francis. Her name is Elizabeth Yore. She is an attorney by training. She has served as the general counsel in the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. She has been a lawyer for Oprah Winfrey and her Leadership Academy for Girls in South Africa. She has been hugely involved in trying to counter human trafficking and things like female genital mutilation. She has an organization she calls Your Children, Y-O-R-E, the spelling of her last name. And I hope that you will follow her as I do at Elizabeth Yore on Twitter. Liz, it is so good to have you with us, and thank you for taking a full hour to really talk about these issues in the kind of detail that they deserve. So good to have you back.
Oh, it's great to be back, and thank you for having me.
Let me just say that I am a huge devotee of our friend and colleague Steve Bannon's War Room Pandemic, on which you appear with great regularity. And it inspired me in part to want to get you on our program, but also to talk about some of the issues that you raise there with regularity. And I really commend to our listeners that they follow War Room Pandemic. It's available on all kinds of platforms as podcasts and Real America's Voice television programming. But it's an outstanding platform for Liz and so many others who are in the business of keeping us safe and free. And I'm so grateful to you for what you do there, now for sharing it a bit here with us. Let's start, Liz, if we can, because I really think this is a program that's going to be devoted to talking about Pope Francis, the nature of his agenda and his papacy, and what it is bringing about as a result of his proclivities, shall we say. Tell us just a little bit about his background, sort of the short bio, if you will, on how he came to be Pope and what he's about as a man and as a religious leader.
Well, Pope Francis was Jorge Bergoglio, the Cardinal of Argentina, Buenos Aires, the major city capital in Argentina. A great question. How did he come to become the Pope? I think that's the million-dollar question that really still hasn't been definitively answered. Bergoglio is, in my opinion, a liberation theologian. Although he was portrayed by the media when he stepped out in the loggia as the new pope on March 13th, 2013, as the Pope of Mercy, the Pope of the Poor. And he really was cloaked in these glowing terms as somebody who was compassionate, was going to, one, clean up the Curia, the organization, the governmental body of the Vatican, but also that he was going to be the answer to the clergy abuse scandal which had plagued the church for years. So the media, and that should have been our sign, Frank, when the media, you know, paints you in glowing terms, it's a red flag.
It's a tell.
Interestingly, yeah. Yes, it is. And Frank, you know, when And so, you know, full honesty, I was a fan because he was talking about human trafficking initially, an issue that I care very deeply about and want to see ended. So I was able to snare an invitation to one of the first human trafficking conferences in November of 2013, a mere 6 months after he became Pope. And so at the Vatican, in the heart of the Vatican, at the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences. And so I went, you know, very excitedly, couldn't wait to hear what the Vatican had to say about this issue. And to my horror, I walked into this conference and I felt like I was at an Obama administration Justice Department event. I felt like I was in, frankly, enemy territory. I knew one person there. It was a very small conference. It was only 80 people and from around the world. And my fellow American that was also there turned to me halfway through the event. And I think this captures what was happening during the conference, said, "Are we the only pro-lifers here?" I mean, imagine that question, you know, at the Vatican.
Yeah, the last time I checked, Liz, the Catholic Church is pro-life fundamentally, is it not?
Yes, it is, and has been, you know, for centuries leading that battle. But when I met Pope Francis, I was not just on the Congo line shaking his hand, Frank. I spent 20 minutes in his presence. And I have to say, not only was I underwhelmed, but, you know, I've said many times before, my soul was, you know, in a sense, very uneased by this man. I did not feel like I was in the presence of holiness. Now, keep in mind, you know, I was thinking, is it me or is it him? And the chances are it's me were much greater. But nevertheless, Frank, after I left, I was so rattled that I decided that I was going to follow what was going on in research, what was going on in the Vatican. And here I am today, eight years later, to my great chagrin, really raising the alarm about this Pope.
Well, to your great credit, Liz, and I think this is why what you have been telling us about in the War Room and now here and in other platforms is so vital. You actually have gone to school on this guy. You have gotten past this fatuously laudatory press. I mean, he's the you know, the focus of at least two documentary films or feature films that I know of, and probably more. And God only knows how many books and a lot of uncritical examination. And that's not the case with you. So we're going to get into a number of aspects of this, Liz. And I want to just say, this is a moment when it's hard to overstate the importance, again, not just for Christendom, but really for the West, for the free world, to understand and factor into our own estimations of the challenges that we're facing, what he is doing, for whom, and to what end. And we'll get into much more of that with Liz York, your children, and just an extraordinary national treasure, as far as I'm concerned, right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom. With Frank Gaffney. Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, and we are continuing this remarkable exploration of what Pope Francis, and under him the Catholic Church, has been up to, with one of its most authoritative monitors and critics. Her name is Elizabeth Yore. She is an attorney who has a passion for human rights and religious freedom, and has wielded it as a mighty sword in defense of Christendom and those who are oppressed. And it's been incalculably important, I think, to educating the rest of us about what's really afoot here. And we're exploring all of that with her now. Liz, I hated to break up your train of thought there, and I hope we can pick up with you where you were, because you were talking about a hugely important issue about what's going on in China and the blind eye apparently, that Francis is turning to it in light of this this deal, for which there are reports he has been paid handsomely. But just finish your thought about what is being done by the Chinese Communist Party in the way of not just organ transplanting, but organ, I call it organ genocide.
Sure, Frank. Yeah, I wouldn't say he is. Yes, he's turning a blind eye, but I think CCP has purchased his silence with respect to the persecution of Christians and other major religions in China. It is shocking that the Vatican, which has been for generations that moral voice that steps into the breach where many will be silent. Again, he has become silent. Interestingly, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo went to the Vatican, sought a meeting with Pope Francis. This was last year at the time of the renewal of the secret agreement. And, you know, I was so proud of Mike Pompeo because he didn't have to do this, but he urged Bergoglio not to sign this renewal of the agreement. He called it a betrayal of the mission of the Catholic Church and an abandonment
as a Catholic
of the Chinese
himself,
Catholic community.
As I understand it, is that
yes?
Right?
And he pleaded with the Vatican to speak out against the violation of human rights. Really, that as we've talked about many times, Frank, in your programs, the genocide of the Uyghurs, the persecution of the Falun Gong, the terrible shutdown of any rights in Hong Kong, the arrest of the Hong Kong freedom fighters, many of whom are Catholic and Christian, who are the leaders of this, absolute silence. So not only was
and it goes on and on from there. I mean, it's the social credit scores, it's the environmental predations, it's crimes against humanity on an epic scale, all of which give rise, Liz, to something that we've talked about with you before in your capacity as an attorney, the need for this entity, the Chinese Communist Party, be designated as a transnational criminal organization, which is certainly what it is, which makes all the more reprehensible the dealing that has been done here with them by the papacy of Pope Francis. But let me ask you, Liz, what are we to make of the reports that perhaps billions of dollars have been paid to the Vatican by the Chinese communists to buy their silence, as you say, or otherwise to lubricate these deals?
Well, yes. There's been a report from a Chinese dissident, Miles Guo, that $2 billion a year has been paid to the Vatican starting in 2014. Frankly, it has not been denied by the Vatican. We know that the Vatican is struggling financially. We know that there are all sorts of financial scandals going on almost on a daily basis under this Francis Vatican. And Frank, these are at the feet of Pope Francis, where he was intimately involved in these deals, using money that was raised for charity for the poor and spending hundreds of millions of dollars, the Vatican has been, to purchase property in Tony districts of London. We know that the Vatican is mired in horrible scandals, sexual abuse scandals, which were supposed to be his priority to clean up, scandals, a cover-up by the Pope himself. So this $2 billion that has been, you know, I would argue is hush money. It has certainly been well spent on the Vatican because there has been papal silence over the crackdown of Hong Kong freedom fighters, papal silence over the secret agreement with China, which has destroyed the underground Catholic Church and Christian churches in China, papal silence over the most abortion-promoting president in the history of the United States, who also happens to be Catholic, papal silence over the persecution of Christians by Islamists in Nigeria and around the world, people's silence against the Uyghurs and the Falun Gong. We could go on and on. And, you know, and so what it results is just these small little NGOs around the world that are pleading with the United Nations, pleading with the world leaders to stop this horrible persecutions. And with that, with total silence from Pope Francis.
It's so shocking, Liz. And one of those organizations that you refer to is our own Save the Persecuted Christians, in which you have been very active, for which I'm very grateful. Before we come to what Pope Francis has been doing frenetically during this very month of May, I did want to just close up one other piece of this McCarrick story. You mentioned turning a blind eye, I would say, to the genocide, or at least the rampant persecution of Christians in Nigeria by jihadists. He has, with McCarrick's direct help again, actively engaged with those of the Islamic faith who are Sharia supremacists. Again, one would think this a most unlikely alliance, and yet this has come to pass too. Talk a little bit about how the Pope has engaged in this so-called Abrahamic Faith Initiative, for example, and what it means for Christendom as well.
Sure. The Pope has taken up the mantle, really started in the 1990s here in the United States by Ted McCarrick, in raising the respectability of the Islamists. Ted McCarrick has been promoting this quote-unquote interfaith dialogue since, you know, very early on when he became the cardinal of Washington, D.C. And as a result, now the listeners know that one of the tenets of the New World Religion is one religion. And so what Pope Francis has done is with his Abrahamic Faith Initiative in 2019, where he met with Al-Tayyib and created what is now in the works, an Abu Dhabi declaration, not only a declaration where these the major faith religions, but especially Christianity, Catholicism, and Islam come together and promote this Abrahamic faith, this one world religion, where we ignore our differences, you know, which have started wars around the world that are causing Christians to die and suffer, be kidnapped, tortured, and killed throughout Nigeria, throughout Africa, and the Middle East.
All over the world, Abrahamic faith, unfortunately, really.
All over the world, yes. Look at France.
Some estimations, 340 million of them are being heavily persecuted now. Literally, yes. I think, on every continent.
And Catholic churches being burned down on a weekly basis in France and been replaced by mosques. This is the heart of McCarrick. This is the heart of Francis. We're using the Catholic Church to legitimize the Islamic faith and coming together with this new quote-unquote humanism under the umbrella of the Abrahamic Faith Initiative. Using the utopian terms of, you know, peace and brotherhood. And so as a result...
And the global reset and this whole economic and environmental and religious agenda. I mean, it all sort of comes together. But it is, again, to go back to what we were saying about China, it is truly diabolical what is being done here. Demonic, one might even say, to the Catholic Church, to its teachings, to its traditions, to its role in the world, and consequently to the world itself. I can't overstate the impact this seems to be having. Liz, and you know, you mentioned in passing a moment ago, and I just want to double back to it, one of the architects of this global reset, Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, talked about the COVID-19, or Chinese Communist Party, if you will, virus, creating an opportunity to accelerate all of this resetting. And one of the things I was struck by, Liz, is, and we need to have a program about it with you or others, this event 201 that took place in the fall of 2019, organized by the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab's operation, organized by the Gates Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Central Intelligence Agency, the Center for Disease Control, and, interestingly enough, the Chinese Center for Disease Control, was convened for the purpose of conducting a tabletop exercise to see what could be done if there were a pandemic involving a coronavirus to strengthen world organizations like the World Health Organization, the United Nations, and world governance more generally. I mean, it's stunning. And this is all available, by the way, folks, on the internet. You can watch the whole tabletop exercise as a video. But Liz, we have to take a last break. When we come back, I want to just talk with you a little bit about what the Pope has been doing this month and what kind of pushback he's getting, not just from people like Mike Pompeo, but from Catholics like yourself and others who appreciate the danger posed by his behavior and policy approach. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back with Liz Yore right after this.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio. Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, and we are continuing this remarkable exploration of what Pope Francis, and under him the Catholic Church, has been up to, with one of its most authoritative monitors and critics. Her name is Elizabeth Yore. She is an attorney who has a passion for human rights and religious freedom and has wielded it as a mighty sword in defense of Christendom and those who are oppressed. And it's been incalculably important, I think, to educating the rest of us about what's really afoot here. And we're exploring all of that with her now. Liz, I hated to break up your train of thought there, and I hope we can pick up with you where you were, because you were talking about a hugely important issue about what's going on in China and the blind eye, apparently, that Francis is turning to it in light of this deal, for which there are reports he has been paid handsomely. But just finish your thought about what is being done by the Chinese Communist Party in the way of not just organ transplanting, but organ genocide.
Sure, Frank. Yeah, I wouldn't say he's turning a blind eye, but I think CCP has purchased his silence with respect to the persecution of Christians and other major religions in China. It is shocking that the Vatican, which has been for generations that moral voice that steps into the breach where many will be silent. Again, he has become silent. Interestingly, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo went to the Vatican, sought a meeting with Pope Francis. This was last year at the time of the renewal of the secret agreement. And, you know, I was so proud of Mike Pompeo because he didn't have to do this, but he urged Bergoglio not to sign this renewal of the agreement. He called it a betrayal of the mission of the Catholic Church and an abandonment
as a Catholic
of the Chinese
himself,
Catholic community.
As I understand it, is
yes.
That?
And he pleaded with the Vatican to speak out against the violation of human rights. Really, that as we've talked about many times, Frank, in your programs, the genocide of the Uyghurs, the persecution of the Falun Gong, the terrible shutdown of any rights in Hong Kong, the arrest of the Hong Kong freedom fighters, many of whom are Catholic and Christian, who are the leaders of this, absolute silence. So not only was
and it goes on and on from there. I mean, it's the social credit scores, it's the environmental predations, it's crimes against humanity on an epic scale, all of which give rise, Liz, to something that we've talked about with you before in your capacity as an attorney, the need for this entity, the Chinese Communist Party, be designated as a transnational criminal organization, which is certainly what it is, which which makes all the more reprehensible the dealing that has been done here with them by the papacy of Pope Francis. But let me ask you, Liz, what are we to make of the reports that perhaps billions of dollars have been paid to the Vatican by the Chinese communists to buy their silence, as you say, or otherwise to lubricate these deals?
Well, yes. There's been a report from a Chinese dissident, Miles Guo, that $2 billion a year has been paid to the Vatican starting in 2014. Frankly, it has not been denied by the Vatican. We know that the Vatican is struggling financially. We know that there are all sorts of financial scandals going on almost on a daily basis under this Francis Vatican. And Frank, these are at the feet of Pope Francis, where he was intimately involved in these deals using money that was raised for charity for the poor and spending hundreds of millions of dollars, the Vatican has been, to purchase property in Tony districts of London. We know that the Vatican is mired in horrible scandals, sexual abuse scandals, which were supposed to be his priority to clean up, scandals of cover up by the Pope himself. So this $2 billion that has been, you know, I would argue is hush money. It has certainly been well spent on the Vatican because there has been papal silence of the crackdown of Hong Kong freedom fighters, papal silence over the secret agreement with China, which has destroyed the underground Catholic Church and Christian churches in China, papal silence over the most abortion-promoting president in the history of the United States, who also happens to be Catholic, papal silence over the persecution of Christians by Islamists in Nigeria and around the world, papal silence against the Uyghurs and the Falun Gong. We could go on and on. And, you know, and so what it results is just these small little NGOs around the world that are pleading with the United Nations, pleading with the world leaders to stop this horrible persecutions. And with total silence from Pope Francis.
It's so shocking, Liz, and one of those organizations that you refer to is our own Save the Persecuted Christians, in which you have been very active, for which I'm very grateful. Before we come to what Pope Francis has been doing frenetically during this very month of May, I did want to just close up one other piece of this McCarrick story. You mentioned turning a blind eye, I would say, to the genocide, or at least the rampant persecution of Christians in Nigeria by jihadists. He has, with McCarrick's direct help again, actively engaged with those of the Islamic faith who are Sharia supremacists. Again, one would think this a most unlikely alliance, and yet this has come to pass too. Talk a little bit about how the Pope has engaged in this so-called Abrahamic Faith Initiative, for example, and what it means for Christendom as well.
Sure. The Pope has taken up the mantle, really started in the 1990s here in the United States by Ted McCarrick, in raising the respectability of the Islamists. Ted McCarrick has been promoting this quote-unquote interfaith dialogue since, you know, very early on when he became the cardinal of Washington, D.C. And as a result, now the listeners know that one of the tenets of the New World Religion is one religion. And so what Pope Francis has done is with his Abrahamic Faith Initiative in 2019, where he met with Al-Tayyib and created what is now in the works, an Abu Dhabi declaration, not only a declaration where the major faith religions, but especially Christianity, Catholicism, and Islam come together and promote this Abrahamic faith, this one world religion, where we ignore our differences, you know, which have started wars around the world that are causing Christians to die and suffer, be kidnapped, tortured, and killed throughout Nigeria, throughout Africa, and the Middle East.
All over the world, unfortunately. Really.
All over the world. Yes. Look at France.
Some estimations, 340 million of them are being heavily persecuted now, literally, yes. I think, on every continent.
And Catholic Church is being burned down on a weekly basis in France and been replaced by mosques. This is the heart of McCarrick. This is the heart of Francis. We're using the Catholic Church to legitimize the Islamic faith and coming together with this new quote unquote humanism under the umbrella of the Abrahamic Faith Initiative, using the utopian terms of, you know, peace and brotherhood. And so as a result.
And the global reset and this whole economic and environmental and religious agenda. I mean, it all sort of comes together, but it is, again, to go back to what we were saying about China, it is truly diabolical what is being done here, demonic, one might even say, to the Catholic Church, to its teachings, to its traditions, to its role in the world, and consequently to the world itself. I can't overstate the impact this seems to be having. Liz, and you know, you mentioned in passing a moment ago, and I just want to double back to it, one of the architects of this global reset, Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, talked about the COVID-19, or Chinese Communist Party, if you will, virus, creating an opportunity to accelerate all of this resetting. And one of the things I was struck by, Liz, is, and we need to have a program about it with you or others, this event 201 that took place in the fall of 2019, organized by the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab's operation, organized by the Gates Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Central Intelligence Agency, the Center for Disease Control, and interestingly enough, the Chinese Center for Disease Control, was convened for the purpose of conducting a tabletop exercise to see what could be done if there were a pandemic involving a coronavirus to strengthen world organizations like the World Health Organization, the United Nations, and world governance more generally. I mean, it's stunning. And this is all available, by the way, folks, on the internet. You can watch the whole tabletop exercise as a video. But Liz, we have to take a last break. When we come back, I want to just talk with you a little bit about what the Pope has been doing this month and what kind of pushback he's getting, not just from people like Mike Pompeo, but from Catholics like yourself and others who appreciate the danger posed by his behavior and policy approach. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back with Liz Yore right after this.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio. Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back to the fourth and final installment of our very important conversation with Elizabeth Yore, attorney, human rights champion, freedom fighter, with your children, among other things. And I just want to use this remaining 11 minutes with you to talk a bit more about how the Pope is trying to institutionalize the radical agenda, the radical, I would argue, anti-Roman Catholic, anti-Christian agenda that he seems to be pursuing, among others, with people who make no secret of their determination to destroy all of that. You have been witnessing some of the events that the Pope has been holding in this month of May and will yet before it's over. Tell us about them and how they, you know, reflect his agenda and are seeking to advance it.
Well, yeah, it's been a very busy May for the Pope and the Vatican. I would call it the May Madness rollout now that COVID has been lifted. They're getting back to their agenda. And it was one event after another. The first event, shockingly, nothing shocks me anymore with this Pope. May 2nd was the Vax Live concert. You may have seen it. It was in L.A., celebrity concert with J-Lo twerking. Prince Harry was there, Selena Gomez, and the quote-unquote global citizen, Pope Francis, addressed this Vax Live conference. Much like, you know, the old concerts with the Bono. And the whole purpose of this Vax Live concert was to get the young people to vaccinate. And they were pushing the vaccination on children and young people. And Frank, I think your audience certainly knows when they have to roll out the celebrities to push their New World agenda, that's when you know that they're getting desperate. So there he appeared on the screen by video. And underneath his name, it wasn't Pope Francis, but it was Global Citizen. So this is the image, of course, that the New World Order agenda, the great reset, we will build back better. So this is the euphemistic language that they're using. Followed by the May 2nd Vax Live concert was followed by the Vatican had a cyber health summit, although the health summit, there were many people at the Vatican. And Korsky noting this conference, this health conference about the vaccine and COVID was none other than Dr. Tony Fauci. And he spoke, of course, about, you know, the vaccination. But just, it's so crazy. The Pope had, again, celebrities. You know, very few Catholic prelates spoke, only two, but the celebrities and were people like Cindy Crawford, the model. What she has to do about, you know, mind, body, and spirit, you know, was nothing, you know, except hawking her makeup on the Home Shopping Network. Chelsea Clinton, you know, a very pro-abortion, making her debut, I would argue, Frank, pushing. Now, this is Chelsea's role. I think we're going to see more of this. Chelsea is going to be the, you know, mother, the model mother, making sure that herself and her children get the vaccine, pushing the vaccine for really young children. Joe Perry, you know, the has-been, you know, rock star of Aerosmith. This was really like a Saturday Night Live skit. And the Vatican Health Summit was a total dud. In fact, Pope Francis only received 75 views on YouTube for his speech. Tony Fauci, 85 views. But interestingly, Frank, there was a count. I know there was a, you know, which is the good news, I guess. I think people are really catching on to what agenda he's pushing. Nevertheless, he's stepping into the breach and pushing the vaccine. And at the same time, there was a Catholic conference. And that Catholic conference had many, you know, hundreds of people speaking, some of the most foremost doctors regarding who have really treated COVID vaccine or COVID patients with HCQ, with ivermectin, you know, talking about the various therapies that are available and talking about,
not dangerous. Vaccine. And Liz, where was this conference?
That conference had 40, this was online, sponsored by Restore the Culture, Patrick Coffin. It had 45,000 people viewing that cyber conference, sharing information that, compared to the, we went head to head with the Vatican cyber conference. So I think there has been a huge shift. I think the New World Order is getting very nervous about the recalcitrant vaxxers that are out there, and they're putting a full court press and using the Vatican to do that. Also, interestingly, Frank, going back to the agenda of the environmental push, which is used as a mechanism, the climate change mechanism by the New World Order. On May 7th, the Vatican sponsored a climate summit with Janet Yellen, who was there, and also John Kerry, the climate envoy of the Biden administration. We all know him as the private jet lover, the swift boater, the windsurfing Gulfstream lover. John Kerry was there, and heads of the IMF, the World Bank, and the African Union. Again, this is the language that they use, dreaming of a better restart. Restart. That was the title of this conference. Again, using the new Linda Rothschild's, her own Council of Inclusive Capitalism, now restructuring the world economy to be in sync with the New World Order. That includes, you know, using climate change, the hoax of climate change as a way to tax the middle class, deindustrializing the Western world. These are the initiatives that are all running full head, and the Vatican has been since time immemorial, with under this Vatican pushing this climate change agenda. So these
and
the
really all of these series. Different dimensions to reordering the world, fundamentally transforming it, I guess is the term that the Obamas use. But doing so, it seems clearly in the service of that radical leftist / globalist agenda and the liberation theologian substrain, I guess, is operating as well, Liz. But you're clearly talking about resistance mounting, not just to the vaccine, but more generally to this agenda. And just in our closing minute or two, talk a little bit about how people of faith like yourself, notably in this conference that Catholics held, but more generally, what are people doing to try to get the church back on track and to stave off this kind of radical, and insidious agenda of the Pope?
Well, as I said, it pains me to talk about this, but this is a hierarchical institution. But it was, the great Fulton Sheen, who those of us who grew up in the 50s remember him, who said that when the church is in a free fall, it will be the laity, not the hierarchy, not the bishops and cardinals who say that. Frank, I think you're seeing a tremendous amount of pushback from the priests who are really challenging Biden, his pro-abortion stance. I think the voices are now really joining more and more in a resistance to this Pope. The bishops understand. The bishops are frankly terrorized by Francis and have remained largely silent, the American bishops and bishops and cardinals around the world. But it is the laity and the great priests that are out there that are beginning to mount a resistance, which is speaking truth to power. We've seen this with the quote-unquote deplorables and the Tea Party now, the new resistance that is emerging politically. The same people are stepping up and realizing that they can no longer remain silent and will not listen to the dictates of the dictator Pope, as we call him. And so I think there's a great deal of hope. We don't have the mainstream media on our side, but we are finding avenues such as yours where we can speak out and really educate people about who the evil empire is and how we can resist them with our voice, with our actions, with our pocketbook. And that is happening.
Thank God. And you're right at the core of it. And we are so appreciative of your leadership, as well as the clarity with which you explain not only what's afoot, but what's at stake. And I hope you will come back to us again soon. In particular, I want to drill down further with you on this transnational criminal organization business, because I really think this is a way of addressing fundamentally the threat posed to the Chinese by the Chinese Communist Party and the malevolent way it's operating around the world today. So that's another coming attraction with Liz York. In the meantime, thank you for today. What a wonderful treatment of this important and complex subject. Bless you for your great work, Liz York. Follow her at Elizabeth York on Twitter. And look for her at Your Children, YORE, as well. Come back to us again soon, Liz, if you would. And I hope the rest of you will do the same again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.